If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Peep, 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 wir haben's alle lieb.
Very good.
There, attracted me.
I'm very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Now bring us a can of brie. Lad, you said you were going to sing with me. Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. Sorry, they're absolutely guzzling cans of light and fresh and crisp re-raw beer here, so they're not getting on the mic. Okay, guys, I'll be the consummate professional here and tell you that this podcast, Young Hot Guys, is proudly sponsored by re-raw beer. The very cans those boys are guzzling. Killian's looking me dead in the eye here. Shane looks like he can't breathe. But look, they sponsor this podcast. We love them. We love their style. We love their beer. Look, I'm speaking from the Cree here, speaking with full grawl here when I say that we like their beer. We like hanging out with them. They're cool guys. Nothing will ever come out about them. They have no skeletons in their wardrobe or anything like that. So we stand by them, even if they are in the middle of being cancelled or anything like that. We stand by them no matter what accusations come out. And at Re-Raw Beer on Instagram is where you can find out all your good stuff. They're in Apple Greens now. So Apple Greens not sponsored. Anyway, enjoy the podcast. Lads, finish the cans. Come on.
I'm annoyed that I spent too much time learning Espanol and not enough time learning... what is it, German in German?
Deutsch.
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 Shut up.
Sprachen Sie Deutsch?
Should have known that.
Entschuldigung, wie komme ich am besten zum Bahnhof, bitte?
Also Bahnhof, links und dann rechts und geradeaus.
Die erste Straße links?
Der erste Straße links,
und
ja.
Und dann um die Ecke.
Um die Ecke und dann links und dann rechts. Und dann es gibt ein großes Mann.
Ah, über die Brücke.
Über die Brücke.
Ah, und dann like ist auf der linken Seite.
Ja.
Ah, danke schön.
Okay, welcome to Learning German with Shane and Killian. So today we're going to be talking about how to write a note and put it on your neighbor's door when they are really making too much noise or when they're wearing their shoes in the house. Do you know that about note culture in Germany?
No.
Oh, this is, I mean, I guess Berliners will know about this. It's very big in Berlin because a lot of people live in
Berlin.
Like in Berlin.
In Berlin.
Hallo aus Berlin.
Berlin.
But they do, in Germany, they write passive-aggressive notes and they leave them on, they stick them on someone's door when they do. It's very, very common.
Wow.
If you're not aware of this, then you know you get a big shock when you see it the first time. But if, let's say, you're doing something, I mean, Germans get annoyed about it, like the littlest stuff. But like,
oh, we know.
You're wearing a house shoe and I'm beneath you and I'm hearing a clunk, clunk, clunk. It's like the horses are going around in your house. So can you
put that? Your house shoe.
They're like, house shoe. That's what they call them, the house shoes.
Wow.
And so they'll write a note and they'll say, please, you know, take your shoes off when you go in your own house, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Or you're putting your bins out in the wrong place and they'll just do a big fucking note on the door.
And would you respond with a note? Or would you just take your skull and like a champ?
Yeah, I mean, you might sort it out the Irish way, you know, fucking knock on their door and just, you know, go, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so, so sorry. Here's a basket of fruit.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Listen, and I'll move out. I will literally move out. Yeah.
Somebody puts out food for foxes, but they put it on my house.
What?
On the roof? So we're Gable End, as you know, Tony. As you well know, we're Gable End.
The gays at Gable End.
We're the gays at Gable End. That's like, it's just Shane and Ray, the gays at Gable End, Dublin. But, you know, first of all, you're not supposed to leave out food for the foxes.
Why not?
I believe it's bad. Ainani Leona was on RT Radio 1. You're not supposed to do that. Did you know one time...
Is she actually like a sheep or something?
Mooney,
she reveals her head.
Mooney goes wild on one. They recorded a segment live from my parents. Not live. They recorded a segment
full stop, from my parents' house when we were kids. About did the they? Foxes. Yeah, they did. But the urban
were
foxes.
Were they looking at your parents' bins, pointing at them, going like, this is just, like, look at this. This is terrible. Or were they like, this is pristine?
It wouldn't suit our bins.
Okay, sorry.
I fucking where love foxes.
Out
of?
Because what? You were talking oh, so about do leaving I. Food out for the foxes.
Oh, yeah. This. Well, I was getting annoyed at someone leaving out food because there has been rodent issues in the area, you know. And I was like, who keeps leaving the fucking food out? And it turns out it's this nice woman.
Mm.
And like, I'm like, I don't want to say, hey, will you, can you fuck off leaving that there? Because I don't want rats in my house.
Write a note on her door in German.
Mm.
Okay, yeah.
Well, leave a note on her door and then she won't know who it's from. And she'll get them.
Can people stop being crazy in the public space? There's another guy who has two bollards outside his house.
Bollards?
Two cones, traffic cones. And when he pulls in, like there is ample parking, but when he pulls in, he just drives into them and moves them with the car.
Oh my God.
Then when he leaves, he reverses out of his place and then gets out of his car. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh my God.
Can people please keep their mania
cone
behind
cone
their
wars.
Doors?
My old street, there was cone wars as well. It's when there's public parking and you're in a kind of near the city area, which is where you are as well. Like people put the cones out. They go, this is my. Even
that means
you
nothing.
Don't, it doesn't.
No.
You don't.
You actually stole those cones.
You stole those cones. They're not your legally.
Yeah,
legally
you buy
those cones. No.
Don't know where you buy crutches and you don't know where you buy cones.
Oh yeah. Where do you buy crutches?
I don't know where you buy crutches.
Same
you
shop.
Them around.
Same shop.
Where's all the crutch? Where's the crutch shop? Where's all the pigeon babies? And where's the cone shop?
You know what I heard about the pigeons is that apparently humans domesticated them and left them. Then that's why they're like that. That's why they actually eat trash.
Do you know what I was thinking about yesterday? Looking at pigeons, some of them are birds, like women.
Mm.
Some of them, like I never thought about that.
You mean the way dogs are all boys, cats are all
cats
girls.
Are all girls.
Yes,
but like some of the pigeons are like a magpie. Like one can land on your wall as a lad. Another one can land on your wall as a girl. And like,
I think they're all girls.
Do you?
I thought pigeons were kind of girls,
Because of their cloacas. Because of their stunning
they sound like
cloacas.
They look like kind of like...
They all have the same song. How come it's so that?
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah. It's like chart music. I'm not into it.
And I actually think, as beautiful as swans are, all boys.
Yeah, you can be a beautiful boy.
I'm terrified of swans.
No, I know, but you know which one I fancy, like, but I think that all the swans are, they just look like, they look like kind of, you know, graceful, and you would have, they have, you know, maybe outdated term, but kind of effeminate features,
a
but
swan,
I look at them all like boys.
A swan is just a snake in a wedding dress. Can you tell I'm writing a book?
That's good.
Is that in your book?
No, it's not, it's just something I said.
No, I robbed that.
And it was a comment I did on Facebook, and I got 30 likes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It was a reply to someone and I got 30 likes. Pretty fucking good.
Are you now fucking scrolling through your Facebook just for material for your book?
No.
That's desperate.
If I was a pigeon, this is how I'd sing because I'm a bit different in alt. I'd be like,
you know, I didn't think they said it couldn't be done. Can you do a pigeon song?
Never
emo-ish?
Heard a new, I've actually never heard a new noise. That was it.
I'm proud of you.
We can't eat those pigeons.
No.
And we can't eat seagulls.
I ate a pigeon before, not like I didn't catch
wood
it
around. Pigeon.
What?
Is that what you eat, wood pigeon?
Yeah, I was actually in I went to the Dorchester hotel in London. My dad would come over to visit me every so often when I lived in London and he would just like, stay in the Dorchester and I'd just go and like just get pissed with him and then go back to my shitty raft flat. But
that's what they eat.
I remember
pigeon.
And there was one thing where it was beside Hyde Park. And like the guy on the menu was like wood pigeon. And the guy goes, I was like, I love the pigeon. Actually, no, he's like, our specials today are pigeon from Hyde Park. And we laughed. And I was like, I don't know, I'll get that. And then he came in and he was like, he handed it to me. And he's like, here is your pigeon from Hyde Park. And I was like, very good. And then he came back and pick it up. And he's like, how was your pigeon? From Hyde Park. I was like, okay.
I loved working at service and having a joke that I had told 1,000 times that made people laugh every single time. Mm. I'd
say
it. I love having that.
Mm.
From Hyde Park. He's probably like, they laugh at this. Mm.
But you cannot eat seagull and you can't eat just regular pigeon because we can't eat anything that eats meat.
What's that?
We can only eat animals that don't eat meat.
Really?
Yeah, because they get all bugs and shit and they get all bacteria and all. I don't know.
I wouldn't be in a hurry to eat pigeon anyway. It's very gamey. I just didn't I didn't care for it.
The
I
Queen's
didn't
pigeon?
Didn't care for it.
The Queen's pigeon.
You have been caught eating the Queen's pigeon, sir.
Remember somebody...
How do you know it was me?
Feathers.
Feathers. How do you know? I might be a lonely scythe. What's it called, a sif?
Surf.
Surf. I might be a lonely surf, but I wouldn't eat a pigeon.
Still popping out of your mouth. No, but it'd be like...
Thanks for having me with that bit there.
Hey, buddy, we helped each other
out. Thanks pigeon? For with that bit.
We're in two bits at once.
Yeah, we're doing two.
Sorry, we were doing two sets of jokes at the one time.
Yeah. Shane, this is great audio. Paper.
Let's reset
it. Newspaper.
I was in the newspaper there the other week, and you know what?
How did you swindle just doing a walk-in? That was a brilliant format. You were doing a walk-in tour, Una Mullally.
Una Mullally's idea. She used to, like, we'll walk around Dublin and take pictures of you in various places.
Genius.
It was a big, long interview, and, like, I was away when that came out, and I didn't have a copy of it because they didn't release it the next day online. Saps.
Mm.
But it's very, I tell you, I need to work on myself. I was mortified. I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I've said so much stuff.
That was great.
I feel like I've taken out my bum in front of everyone.
Mm.
Which now generally
was
I would,
a great spread.
I would do. Hey,
dum, dum.
No, but it's terribly vulnerabilizing.
It is.
Yeah, we had like we walked around for like four hours, like,
whoa.
And
wow.
Then you know we had a pint and everything, and it's exhausting. So, but it's like you end up just talking about things. But I was like, oh my God, I'm really embarrassed. It's easy to talk about stuff on stage and talk about your feelings or whatever if you get to have a show like that.
Yeah.
But Jill, it's much different when you're like, oh my God. And then you're like, all I kept thinking about is the amount of people going, who's this fucking prick? Mm. You know what I mean?
Like, oh. One person who wasn't like that was my mum, who read it and she was loving it. But she, my mum is a tour guide. She's a
Tory, sorry.
She's a Tory.
Couldn't be further from a Tory.
Yeah, very much. But she's a tour guide and she was reading it. And she was like a Sunday morning she was reading it and she was like having her coffee and she went, Shane's going on tour. And I was like, yeah, he's going on tour. She's like, what? Why is he going on tour? And I was like, he's going on tour. And she went, where is he going to do? Is he, so is he going to become a full-time tour guide? Oh. And I was like, what are you talking about? In her head, tour only means a guided historical tour. So she thought you were just becoming...
My
tour?
Comedy tour.
There was a weird phrasing of it. He's starting his tour.
Yeah.
And like I walked around with Shane as in he told me about starting his tour. And yeah. I'm like, oh, is he going to do a fucking walking tour? It actually did read like it was you were going to start doing a walking tour.
Oh, God. Okay, well, let's put that out. No, I'm not running a walking tour in Dublin. There's enough comedians who actually already do that. So I'm not doing that.
It is actually a big way that comedians tend to get work.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
My mom constantly goes, you'd be a great tour guide.
But
she said that about you when we said that. She went, you'd be a great tour guide.
I would be.
Oh, you'd be brilliant.
I wouldn't be. Because I'm very like, I can do it like, it would be all the patter from when you're walking to the next point. I wouldn't enjoy that. I feel like I could stand there in front of, you know, Christchurch and be like, Strongbow! You know, or whatever. And then do all that. But actually, the kind of patter in between. See, I'm very like...
You'd need more than just the word Strongbow.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
Tony just walks.
Any questions?
Walks beside Christchurch. Strongbow. All right, let's move on. And then just get St. Patrick's Cathedral. Church.
Right. Is his name?
Walks to Burdocks. Chipper.
Richard DeClare. Is that his name?
Yeah. Richard DeClare.
Half of Strongbow is in, is it, which one is it in? Christchurch or Patrick Cathedral?
I think
Christchurch. Strongbow.
Half of them. Yeah.
Theatre's in the Amber Hall.
Is it?
No, it's that Hitler only has one ball, the other's in the Albert Hall.
Oh.
That's good.
Did Hitler only have one ball?
No.
Right.
It's all a bunch of waste of time.
I can't say, you mentioned, I'm...
What?
I just feel uncomfortable talking
when
about
we talk about Hitler?
Yeah.
We talk about tight scrotums again like we did last week?
No. Leave the tight scrotums out of it. That's enough.
This is your ick.
Me?
You got a tight scrotum ick.
No.
Okay, look, we're not.
I don't know why you're blaming me on just because you fill up this, but people listen to this, you know, making their kids lunches. People listen to this maybe on their way to mass. They don't need to hear about this kind
maybe
of thing.
Maybe while they're in mass.
True.
Do you know what? I was in mass and I realized funeral.
Right.
Yeah. You had to ask.
It's
you?
Okay. We're great with death.
We're so good with death.
So good with death.
And I was just sitting there going, we're so good with death. We're in mass, funeral. And I was like, getting the urge to take my phone out.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't. That's the only place I just would never take my phone out. And no one was. And I was like, that's, you couldn't.
I would not at a funeral mass.
You couldn't at a funeral mass. Imagine taking your phone out and just fucking playing Snake. Or, well, I mean, that's obviously not what you do on your phone. Just going on Instagram while someone's, you know, it's a funeral mass. You can't do that. And I was like, this is kind of a meditative experience. Even though obviously a funeral mass. Digital detox.
I would like to believe in Christianity, whatever, and I'd like to like put forward ways to like jazz up the mass.
I was just gonna say, well, what would you do to jazz up the mass?
I think like just make it, Wi-Fi? First of all, a lot of the priests are gonna have to be sacked. I think that's the thing.
Yes.
Make it warmer. Let us know that if you need to go to for a pee, you can. Mm. This danger of like, there may or may not be a toilet here.
You're basically
every church you go into, can we pee MCs here?
You want comedian MCs.
There should be an MC. There should be a little, maybe the altar boys can do a warm up.
All right, guys, we're going to start the hallelujah over in this corner of the room. Yeah, and I want to see that hallelujah spread over. Okay. All right. So you in the front row. You're just completely bent over. Oh, you're just permanently like that. Where are you from? Yeah. You're local, just like everyone here.
Yeah.
Is there anyone here?
The road.
Anyone here under 80 years old? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a no. Anyone under 85? Okay.
But you could jazz up, like, I used to like some of the bits where... I hate the way they sing word, like sing talk. For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. Boring. And okay, but I like they had a good alleluia one time they used to have, and it would like alleluia, and then other people join in alleluia, and then they go alleluia, and then me and my brothers used to always go da 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 da. Just add on.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I love when the priest goes for it, though. I love when the priest just, you know.
If you're not a good singer, shut up, priest.
Oh, it's funnier when they're not good. I'm sick of hearing people who are good at singing. I want to hear people who are bad at singing. It's much better. It's much more human. It's like when, you know, when they say the handmade clothes, you look for the blemishes because that's, you know, someone's hands was on that. That's what I like, you know. And hearing the priest going like, may the Lord bless Almighty. Amen.
That's good.
That's good. I like that.
But that is good. Singing. But that's you being a good singer.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll try do bad.
What the fuck is this?
I'll try do bad.
My Lord, mercy. And at the funerals, can the priests chill out? They're doing this, they don't take control of the funerals and everything. They make you do the eulogy at the beginning. So that as if everyone's going to leave before the big finish. Do you know what I mean? It's like, get your hands off it. Like, let us do our funerals, you little saps. They're little saps up there now, thinking they can do what they like. And it's like,
I think
no, we don't do that anymore. No, it must be about the Lord God.
You know, they've changed the words as well. They've changed a lot of the words.
Have they updated
You know the creed? That's completely changed. What they jazzed that up. The creed, you know, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the Holy Lord and the Appalachian Church, the Apostolic Church, you know, they list basically the things that they believe. They've changed, which was my favorite bit, of all that is seen and unseen. I always thought when I was a kid.
All that is seen and unseen.
Of all that is seen and unseen. Because I was just like a kid who was obsessed with Lord of the Rings and, you know, fantasy. And I just thought the phrase, of all that is seen and unseen, dear Frodo.
Yeah.
It just kind of had that vibe to it. Do you know what they've changed it to? Of all that is visible and invisible.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh.
Is that not so boring?
You know what I love? I love the line from Here I Am, Lord. You know, I, the Lord of sea and sky.
Yeah.
What about land? That's where we live.
He's the Lord of sea
and
sky.
Lord of
I have
sea
heard my people cry.
I can fly and I can swim.
But I
cannot, walk on your land. It's come into the sea. So I can help you again.
It's actually a very...
Come up to the cloud.
A very cheery air for the words. Like, all who dwell in darkened sin. My hand shall save.
My hand shall it's save.
Like, dwell in darkened sin. Mm. Would they ever leave us alone? Let's just actually unpack a little bit. Even when I was a kid, remember they were like, you know, and...
leave us alone.
I'm not unworthy. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Not worthy to receive you, but only say that. Oh my God, I'm having a problem. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. I remember being a kid and I was like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You're worthy to receive the Lord.
Yeah, come in my mouth, Lord.
Oh, wow.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord. Do me.
No, that's blasphemous. I'm actually scared.
You're allowed to do blasphemy.
Famously, joy to the world, the Lord is come. So...
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
No,
change that.
I don't want
change
to go to hell because of you guys. Just in case. Imagine.
It's not real.
Are you
yeah,
confident?
But imagine.
Are you a 1 foot in just in caser?
Oh, absolutely.
You are.
I am.
If you have babies, will you baptize them?
Absolutely. Well, just in case. No, it's not. It's actually not that. It's just that I'm hyper aware that I'm...
Yeah, the Lord loves that, by the way. This whole just in case. Kind of believe.
No.
Mr. Case.
No,
may I call
I
you
just
Justin?
Realized, like, I'm a line of, like, you know,
thanks,
2,000 Tony. Years of Catholicism. 2,000 years of consistent Catholicism in my family.
Well, about 600 or 700 years of Catholicism, no, because that's when they had to schism away.
Okay, but like of Christianity,
yeah.
of following those rites and passages. And I'm the one who has to break that chain. I too much pressure. All
you also
my
broke the chain by doing a podcast. You know what I mean? Like you broke the chain by doing things that they didn't ever do.
No, but
you broke
this
the chain
is a,
by
this is a,
driving a van. Like... You're probably the only
my
van
granddad
life
drove a van.
Speaking of the chain, I think God might say, if you don't love me now, you will never love me again. You will still never break the chain. Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac.
No, I feel pressure to do as my ancestors have done. For fucking millennia, is it not? Do you guys not feel a bit of a pressure?
No.
No, not at all.
Think of all the other things they did that were stupid.
I don't really like I don't like any of the tradition.
I can't believe you think my granddad didn't drive a van.
Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week you'll hear tales of mythic Irish gods, Arthurian knights, or Norse Vikings. There is folklore from Ireland and around the world, and even historical legends like Brian Boru and Gráinne Whale. Whether from poetry or prose, lyric or legend, if there is a good story at the heart of it, you'll find it here. I'm Kevin C. O'Lahan. I'm your host and Fireside Bard. With over 150 episodes and rising, there has never been a better time to join us by the fireside.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What do you guys think of my haircut?
It's very nice.
Cute, but it's not enough.
It's not enough. It needs an earring.
No, well you do need an earring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony. Where is your earring?
My
and
bird
Terry
got
gave
you
a nice earring.
Would you trade it for another Audi wallet, you twat?
He's a house
earring,
full of Audi wallets.
The earring broke.
You can't move for
it
the
broke.
Audi wallets.
I have the rest of it, but the I was thinking I was being too violent with
you
it.
You were being too violent. It's not flimsy.
No, it's not. It was not flimsy. It was just, I think I was being too violent, trying to get it, and I get it in. I was being too...
Did Anna attach it to a chain again and pull you around the room? Like a little mutt that you are.
Yeah,
I'm
like
actually getting so
pig.
Horny thinking of this.
No, I don't. I need an earring.
And you're having a go me talking about scrotums.
Pigs. Your wife did message me offline, actually, about
it.
How
you having an affair?
Tony gave us... We're kind of having an affair. Tony gave us... I famously know Cherry a lot longer than you, Tony.
You do.
Not saying I know her better, but I do know her longer. But she messaged me and said, Tony, you gave us each one earring. And she was like, I told Tony that you wear two and Killian wears one, but he wants you both at the same present. And I said, he is so stubborn. And she said, from his real wife to his work wife, yes, he is indeed so stubborn.
Oh, wow.
She wants to replace them. And I said, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Don't be silly.
What am I, your work son? I'm your work boy.
You're my work nephew.
You better work, boy.
No, but they are incredible. It just, I was a bit too violent with it. I'm going to see if I can get it fixed. But I need to get the earring and I'm feeling really
Did you
really
go into one of those Turkish barbers and just went...
No, I did go to a Turkish barber to get my hair cut, by the way.
Did you?
I did. The barber, I went in, it was Sunday, the only barber opened on a Sunday, and it was just a random one.
Wow.
I have a lot of haircut anxiety because I'm a long-haired man, without long hair at the minute, but I am a long-haired man.
Not anymore.
I identify as a long-haired man.
Well, not anymore.
I identify as a long-haired man.
No. You're a turncoat is what you're. You let us down.
I still do, you know, long-haired men, I kind of nod to each other. I do that still, but I don't have the long hair to back it up, so they think I'm just nodding at them.
Do long-haired men nod to each other?
Sometimes, yeah. You get a little bit, yeah. Kind of like a little bit of a...
Well, I mean, for other people, they probably see it as some sort of like fraternity. For me, I'm threatened by every single fucking one of them. And I'm also a bit ashamed as well. Like, I feel really weird when I look up long men hairstyles. I'm like, oh.
Long men.
Long men.
Long men. There was one time during
like
the COVID.
Anunnaki, aliens, Mr. 13 Tickles. Foot tall. Mr. Tickles.
Just a top hat. Just a top hat.
He was my favorite Mr. Man because he could get a biscuit all the way down when he was from bed. And now we have Deliveroo. Everything's changed.
Mr. Tickles, like, that's, I can get, well, I got Deliveroo.
Yeah. But he used to tickle people. And I was reading that to my son. He would tickle people around the corner. And my son, he was laughing. I'm like, now, just to let you know, that's bad. Like, because he should have been like, can I tickle you? You know, can I tickle you? You should ask consent.
There's a hairdresser online at the minute who asks, can I touch you before touch the people's hair? And people are getting very annoyed about it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, is it that big? People getting annoyed about it, just, come on, like, that's a hairdresser who does that. People go that because they want that experience. But anyway, the hairdresser I did not ask me if he could touch me beforehand, but he did, and it was great, and it was just like a regular hairdresser.
Put his hand right down your pants.
he was great, but he was a Turk, and he was like...
Can you say that? Can you say that?
He was Turkish. He was Turkish.
No, you probably can't
say
Turk.
I don't like putting ish on the end of it, because it sounds like they're not fully...
There's a good news blooper.
He was Turkish.
Irish.
There's a good news blooper from years ago, and the guy at Simon BBC, they're doing like Vox Pops, and he's like, excuse me, sir, are you Peckish? And he goes, no, I am Turkish. Anyway, did you pay him a Revolut?
No, he said he was nice. He only charged me for like a beard trim, even though he did my hair. But he was great. I was asking him about like Turkish barbers. I was like, what's the story with Turkish barbers? Like, what's that whole thing like? And he was telling me all about it. He was like, oh, like in Turkey, barber is not just...
Please do the accent.
It's not just barber. It's more. It's a hairdresser. My hairdresser, he did me circumcise. He circumcised me.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? He was like, he did my circumcise. And I was
what?
Like, he what? And he was giving me he was kind of doing a pinch and snip motion. Yeah. And I was like, oh, he did. Yeah. And he said that is the red and the white of a barber is to do with kind of like blood or something.
Blood and bandages.
Blood and bandages.
Like cork. Yeah.
And not only do hairdressers in Turkey, they're kind of more, not like fully doctors, but they give medical advice, or they look at your skin and they're kind of like, oh, your skin looks a little bit whatever. Mm. When he was saying that, his English, he had great English conversation, but he had some bits where when he said things, he kind of had to ask. And he was doing an example. What I didn't realize was he was doing an example of what a Turkish barber would do. But I didn't get that from the way he was describing it to me. So he's like, you know, like, look at your skin. There's something very wrong here. And I was like, what? And he was like, your skin, there's something very wrong. And I was like, oh, what? He's like, you have to go to the doctor. And I was like, what? What? He's like, something like that. And I was like, oh. But he was like pointing at my cheek somewhere here and was like, something wrong with your skin. And I was like, oh. But he was doing an example. But he was great. He was like a Turk, the barbers, and they're so good. Like, a great haircut, right? Mm-hmm. Good haircut.
Yeah, lovely.
Brilliant.
Really nice.
And then he said I could...
Something missing, though.
I could go back to him, and he said...
his eyebrows.
Hot eyebrow shave.
Yeah. He waxed my eyebrows. I keep them waxed. Mm-hmm.
They also do, as well as all those, the medical things, they also do lovely interior design as well in many areas.
The Turks?
No, just made that up. Just as if the barber would also do interior design. I quite like the idea of
well,
that.
He said I would definitely go back to him. He's a brilliant, brilliant hairdresser. And he said he didn't work there. I was like, oh, where are you working? He's like, in Rathfarnham. And I was like, oh, cool. And what's the name of the shop? And he's like, in the Chinese? You go in the Chinese? At the back of the Chinese, you'll find me.
Okay, that's great.
That's his barber's
so
shop.
So he's somewhere in the back of the Chinese in Rathfarnham.
Sounds amazing.
And he's brilliant. He's a really, really good hairdresser. So I'll be going back.
I went back to my Turk. You don't have a Turk?
No, I have a dub.
And you know, he did something. There was no one in the shop this time, so he really took his time this time. Hussein. And he was doing the shave, and then he took out the razor and leaves it in like it's a lovely little ornate kind of bowl, you know, has water. And then he starts going, putting a lighter on it, right? And then he sprays it with aftershave and then lights it. And it was like this massive, like... And he did that like 16 times because he knew that I was like, I kept saying like, oh, wow. And he would do it again. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing. Not only do I have someone rubbing me so much and giving me so much attention, which I love, yep. but it's also a bit of fucking David Blaine shit in here as well.
Yeah.
Fucking Dynamo in here. It, like, oh, €30 well spent. Very expensive.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys love the haircut?
Yeah, you look good.
Just something missing.
It's an earring. I know it's missing. Mm, I need to get one.
Meow.
And eyebrows.
What can I do about that?
Stop it now about that.
I dyed my eyebrows. Or I didn't dye. I got them painted in when I did that Paul Mescal sketch. And
Paul Mescal?
I think I looked better. Paul Mescal.
Marhample Paul Mescal?
And I think I looked better. And it was really hard for me because I'm like, I don't have eyebrows. And you guys are bringing it up and I'm self-conscious.
I don't really have that much hair, so it's grand.
I was surprised you kept the mustache for it.
For what?
Paul Mescal.
Well, he has a mustache.
Does he?
Yeah. And he also, I think, copied me because I had that mustache before him.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was raving, him and Andrew Scott are in that film, and everyone was raving about their little press interviews. I thought that was real cringe.
Really?
I
was like, cringe more.
What?
We cringe more about the whole thing.
I thought they were super cute.
I thought they were cute and they're great.
Funny. But like, I mean, it just seemed like they were just having a chat like anyone would have a chat.
Deirdre O'Kane messaged me and said that she sent the Paul Mescal sketch that I did when I sang
to
Andrew Scott.
Right.
And she said, I bet he'll send it on to Paul Mescal now. So I'm terrified he's seen it now.
How did we get Paul Mescal on this podcast? He was on I'm Grandmam or other enemy podcast.
He was on I'm Grandmam.
Yeah, they got, well, before he was like Oscar nominee when he was just Connell for Normal People, they had him on, yeah.
We can get Andrew Scott, lookalike Peter McGann, on the podcast.
You know who does a very good Andrew Scott? Sean Burke does a really good Andrew.
He's a very good Andrew Scott.
Look it up. It's like quite,
it's incredible.
It's good. Quite startling, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like very Moriarty Sherlock Andrew Scott.
Can I read out an email that we got?
Yeah.
That is kind of related to this.
From a celebrity?
Yes. Because I think
anyone else who's callul celebrities, email us in.
Okay, so hello, have been listening to the pod. This is, sorry, can I say this is from Brenna?
Thanks, hey, Brenna
from Wisconsin.
Oh,
hello, have been listening to the pod.
I've been listening to your podcast.
That's not Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I'll do whatever accent I like.
Okay, well,
hello.
No, American. Okay, have been listening to the pot. POT. Since I saw the trailer on Killian's TikTok.
No, hang on,
TikTok.
Delete. You got it wrong.
Brenna.
Like, sorry, like, I don't know what to... Better look next week.
All right, you got three words in.
No, sorry.
Been listening to the pot since I saw the trailer on Killian's TikTok the day it launched.
A listened pot never bubbles.
Can I just say, you guys have gotten too fat because it's from Killian's TikTok.
Sorry.
I've watched all the episodes twice now. This is the first podcast I've ever actually liked and not had to skip through. And today I wanted more content so much that it's now also the first time I've subscribed to it.
Brenna! Oh,
thank you so much. Being a jerk.
If you want to subscribe, head to Head Stuff Plus and you can subscribe, get bonus content once a week.
Well,
thank you so much,
gee, Brenna. I'm thanking you kindly for your support in this podcast.
I don't know.
She just sent another email saying, and it's also the first podcast I've stopped subscribing to after Shane's accent.
Wow. Oh, shit.
I'm begging your forgiveness, Miss Brenna. I don't mean cause no offense. I just playing is all. I just a poor little boy from the bayou or something. My daddy done be gone.
I'm going to cut in before that gets problematic.
Yeah,
I have a question for y'all.
Okay, great.
As the official Young Hot Guys of Ireland, how do you feel about the rise of international appreciation for hot, famous Irish men? Is there national pride about people like Niall Horan, Hosier, Barry Keoghan, Paul Mescal, Cillian Murphy, and Cillian Sunderman? No, she didn't say Cillian Sunderman.
Okay.
Hitting the galas and the red carpets and unquestionably slaying. Or does it get annoying that people are always fawning over the accent, just noticing that Irish people are great? I'm from Wisconsin, for context, and a friend of mine from Dublin seemed very exasperated with me a couple of years ago when I told him that I was enamored with Cillian and Niall and Barry. He said something along the lines of dark hair, blue eyes, and an Irish accent. You've just described half the men over here. I did sit through the entire live-action Peter Rabbit just to see Donald Gleeson. I love him more than I hate James Corden, but only Barry. Barely.
Only Barry.
Only pot.
Some, you know, she's saying that we're beautiful. She's saying that, you know,
this
she hates
great.
An English person. This is
good topic to bring
very
up, Brenna. Good topic.
Okay, so Adore the pod. Also, and very excited about being able to listen to bonus stuff now. Thanks for being my fav white boys of the month every month. Ah. Also, when, if any of you start doing shows in the US, please come to Chicago or Milwaukee first. Been having serious FOMO when you promote shows. Cheers, Brenda. P.S. Is there anyone you guys would really like to have on as a guest? Would love to see Garen Noon or Shane Todd or Vittorio Angeloni or Dave Nihil or even the cute TikTok woodworking guy from Cork.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, yes. I like that. Yeah.
I like him.
Okay. Whatever about those comedians.
He's jumped to the top of the list.
Forget about Vittorio and Shane Todd.
Can you fix his table? Look at that.
So the question is, do we feel offended about being, I suppose, what is it when people fantasize over a stereotype of
fetishized?
Fetishized. Well, yeah, we are being kind of fetishized.
I don't think we are. Like, I think it's, I mean, that's why I think that, remember that SNL sketch? Yes. Where it was like Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, and they were like, "Hug the tiger, the tiger." It was just like, "Oh, come on! Like, are we not like fucking decades past that?
We've moved on from to come on our tits.
Are we not
decade past that?
It's like, decades,
it's literally. Are we not a decade?
A
past
single that? Decade past that?
No, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's the hottest
that Irish boys have ever been. Between Barry Kilmer, but I thought Barry Kilmer was super fucking hot in Saltburn.
Yeah, so did I. But I think as well, like, there's hot, like Paul Mescal, hot, handsome.
Super hot.
And what's the other fella? Andrew Scott, hot and handsome. Mm-hmm. Niall Horan's just famous. He's an attractive guy.
He's not a hottie, though, is he? And he's also just got that thing about him. He's got that star quality. He's just got that, you know, charm.
Well, when he auditioned for The X Factor, Cheryl did say, "You've got a lot of charm for a 16-year-old.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, but you know what she also said? No.
Yeah, that's true.
Katy Perry said yes to him.
There are levels of horniness, okay? So, like, we've all kind of seen the others do, you know, do hotter and hornier things. But there's probably someone who's like, I don't really, you know, there's probably girls or boys who are like, I wouldn't mind Niall Horan giving me a big hug and smelling my hair. And maybe give me a little kiss in the earlobe. Yeah. And he could do that within that, you know, he's within that remit. He's like kind of on the more tender scale, you know, and then he'll sing a song about you with his wearing a vest, but not fully with his shirt off. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And the other boys might, you know, try and like, you know, hop in a bath after you've been in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, there's different levels of the horniness.
Obviously, we are in an unprecedented era of Irish, you know, hot guys.
Of young hot guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously we are right there, the authority on it, Jim. I would still put, you know, mid-2000s Colin Farrell.
Yep.
He would beat all of them put together. I think there was a level
in a sex competition.
In a sexy competition.
He would win.
In breakfast, a hot,
lunch,
sexy
and dinner.
Come on. Come on, artists.
Colin Farrell was probably one of the sexiest people Hollywood's ever had to deal with. Ever.
Yes. I think it's age, though. Like, I think, I mean, obviously, but like,
he's still hot. You look back at it.
I mean, the fact that he's kind of like, he's like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then he's all like, well, you know, Martin, he's just a brilliant playwright. He's a brilliant mind. And I'm like, this is a different voice.
Yeah.
That's a different fucking voice on the guy, you know? Well, you know, I told him, you know, Barry, just, you know, keep
this text is just fascinating.
You know, yeah, keep your nose clean. And
there's a good two actors talking, and it's Colin Farrell and it's Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant famously, like, completely disrespects the craft of acting.
Which
like,
I love.
It's great. I'm there for it. He's like, do you not think we're just, like, pretending to be people? Yeah. And it's not really a big deal. And, like, people should get over it.
I hated being an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, but there's been a big... I think the actors, this Actors on Actors and all this stuff, they're taking themselves so seriously now. They've gone so... I'm like, yeah, but you're just movie star people. Like, it's not even real. It's not actually like, oh, you win the Oscar because you were the best at having fake teeth like Freddie Mercury. What a load of shit.
Yeah.
Like, grow up.
You're also
like,
just pretending to be someone. That's just like kids
boring.
Do that.
Boring. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, when I, you know, I was pretending to be this guy. It's like, you can't take you seriously.
And there was one the other day, somebody was giving Carey Mulligan praise receiving praise from Fassbender in one of these sit down, let's get up each other's whole interviews where they go, and he kept saying how good she was, and she didn't say, oh, stop. She just kept saying thank you. And it was like, yes, accept the praise. I was like, okay, if you're so devoted to something so boring as the topic of when you're receiving praise and you must not, she was just like, yes, thank you, yes, yes, or whatever. She just was like, yeah, yeah, or she didn't say thanks, whatever it was. And I was like, Get a fucking life. These people are like, here's $12 million and you just read the lines and you work for a couple of hours out of the day. Shut up.
When I get praise, I'm actually like annoying. If someone was like, great question, I'm like, thank you. Like I say thanks for some dismissive praise.
If we did that kind of inside the actor's studio where we sat or that, you know, head to head, sit across and talk.
Yeah.
Really, now, Tony, I just really want to say, like, that bit you did on when you had that swollen ball. I don't know. Like, can you just talk about how you got there and how, you know, like, how big was the ball and like, how did you do
that? Well, it was huge. The thing is, you know, it's just, I feel like all it can be is my truth. Mm. And at that time, my truth was I had a scrotum that looked like I had four fucking nuts in there.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, I was in hospital for 4 days.
Did you feel like you were speaking for all the people?
I was speaking for all people, all men. Women as well, actually, which is a weird one. Which is weird. I'm saying you're actually speaking for me as well.
And I'll be the annoying guy from the Hollywood Reporter who interrupts and say, well, Tony, we had that from you, but Killian, your piece on the podcast about your barber circumcision really broke some ground. And how was that for you?
How did you find that?
Well, circumcision, obviously, that's the big thing that, you know, I spent years researching the circumcision. And, you know, I sat in on a lot of circumcisions and
yeah.
You know,
I still have them.
I did a few. They let me do a few.
I have some of the foreskin. If you dry them up, they'd make really good keyrings. Thing is, Shay, like, you would love to be sitting there across from some Hollywood actor and saying, blowing smoke up your arse, would you not?
No. No way I would not contribute to the ego of that.
So if you were asked...
Like, it is fluke and it is looks, right?
Of course it is.
Like, I just think this thing of they think that they're the chosen ones, it's either they already come from money and they have all that, they're really good looking, or they have real interesting looking. Like, that's,
do you know what
it's
it
just,
is?
There's actors, there's hundreds and thousands of actors, people who can do just as well as those people.
But you need to be 5'8" and have a big head.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what looks good on screen. Yeah. And that's just...
And a big dick, apparently. This is what we're learning from the... I'm telling you.
Quite a hog on the chap.
Somebody was doing... Do you know what people love doing? Someone said Barry Keoghan. Keoghan?
Keoghan.
I say Keoghan even though I'm wrong.
Yeah, has a big dick. And then someone's like, stop that big. It was your podcast partner.
Yes.
And I was like, will you shut up? Straight boys are so boring.
No,
wasn't that big.
Mine's huge. Some of the Hollywood penises, though. It's not.
Compared to Fassbender's.
It's no Fassbender.
Fassbender was in the process of wanking his. Can we all like call a spade a spade? Do you know what I mean? When we saw his hog in Hunger.
We didn't really get a good enough look at Mescal's, but it seemed to be pretty hefty from my memory.
What did when did we see it?
In Normal People.
We got to see.
Yeah. Did you watch Normal People?
Normal Pee Hole.
Didn't you even do the pandemic?
I did do the pandemic. Excuse me. I performed as Paul Mescal. You know, I could be in this.
In the way, I love seeing side boob.
Sure.
Like a side boob's nice, you know, or under boob is nice. Mm. What kind of dick do you like seeing? Do you like seeing straight dick? Like, just like there's a person standing there. Like, there was a lot of kind of like straddling side dick. In like Saltburn.
I think just what any type of representation, because we're not getting represented out there, you know. And so
I'm asking what the hot dick is.
Any type of penis in the media is good, because I feel like we're getting in there and we're being seen there. And I know some people are probably like, the token penis is in the show, but I think any representation is good representation. So be it your side dick, be it your swinging Mickey, being it, you know, someone dancing to Murders to Dance For in the Victorian Mansion. That's representation. That's what representation looks like.
I like seeing his foreskin. I like seeing, you know, a fellow uncut gem like myself, you know, just dancing around a big...
Emerald deserves so much credit for that, for really bringing the foreskin into...
to the forefront.
To the forefront.
To the forefront.
We see so many exposed glands of the penises and bellends that it is time to see ones that is more covered.
If you draw a picture of one, It's one we're out the hood.
When we draw in our part of the world, when we draw a cock and balls, you draw a circumcised cock, and I think that points to the kind of
it was very important for Emil to have the long nib at the end of the foreskin.
I dream of the day that children draw penises with big hoods, like
big hoods, like a little dolphin's head,
like an anteater.
Yeah. Like a dolphin's mouth.
Wow, disgusting.
Anyway, to come back around,
I think it is good to be in the golden age of hot Irish guys going around doing things.
Yes, yeah. And I think...
I welcome it.
Yeah, I welcome it. Yeah. And it's
good. I would love to be in one of those kind of inside the actor, blown smoke up each other's holes kind of things.
No, but I like talking about...
I like ton weight as soon as I get the call to do
Yeah,
that,
but I like talking about comedy with other comedians. And I always think it's so funny, like comedians talk to each other and take it so seriously and we're talking. Or just before you go on, you're nervous, you're jittery. And you're like... And then you go out, and then the first thing you do is do a joke about having a shit or something.
Yeah.
It's silly, so but I do think you have to take it seriously in order for the silly thing to be funny.
Yes.
So that's how that works or whatever. Mm. So, but I do think it's funny. But I like talking about that with other comedians, but I don't want to talk about it for the public consumption.
No. And also, I think we're all in the kind of like, look, if people come to the gig and they have a good time, like that's great. That's plan B. Plan A is me. Look at me. I love me. That's the thing that annoys me about actors is all like they act like it's the craft, but like you love this attention and want everyone to fucking adore you.
Yeah. Do you know what they love? I was, you know, I suppose the Irish background and, you know, Irish people are great storytellers. Me, I always love telling stories. I always love storytelling and I wanted to share those stories. You didn't. You wanted attention. Best boy in the class.
Yeah.
Best boy in Rangashay. That's 100%. Who you wanted to be.
Yeah.
Andrew Scott, would you go away? Storytelling, whatever. Out in Black Rock, you wanted to be
Can
the star.
Can it not be both? Can it not be both?
Yes, but be honest.
Oh, yeah.
This I'm not saying, there's actually no shame in wanting a bit of attention. But be honest, this thing of you want to tell stories, go away. Yeah, of course. Look at me, everyone look at me. But also, I feel like as much as I'm doing everyone look at me, I'm also working very hard to make sure that everyone has a good time.
Yeah. Mm.
So I feel like that's okay to have both. But I feel like I'm going to attack Andrew Scott. Let's do it. Let's start a beef.
I love Andrew Scott.
I
think he's amazing. I really love him.
Whoa. I like Andrew Scott too.
Okay, good.
I like just being part of this generation of Irish, because I think Irish men get trashed for how we look quite a lot. People consistently say we are the ugliest, and now we are statistically the hottest people in Hollywood. We half of the best actor nominees were Irish.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they're hot, but... People fancy us right now.
They're all pretty hot. Mm.
And there was that dating app in Los Angeles or whatever, and it was like the people in the dating app decided who could come in, and it was basically based on attraction, and so it was a very kind of like physical attraction thing, and Irish men ranked right at the bottom, right at the very bottom of every single nationality. Which is, you know, there we go. Well done, boys. At least we're at the top or bottom of one list. But now look at us.
Huh?
Now look at the state of us. We're just as ugly, but you fancy us now.
I think it probably has to do with that we're hurtling towards the end of humanity as a concept. The idea of caring for each other in any humane way. That people are like, it's the end of the road. Like, get a bit of dirt before we go out. Like, I think that's it.
Yes. Yeah.
Irish people are that.
I think that's
the Irish,
not true.
Do you not think so?
What do you say? We're hurtling to the end of compassion with our fellow man.
That's correct, as a fact.
No, it's not. No, Tony, it's
have
not.
You read the news?
I know, and look, and I'm also seeing everyone who I know who's in my community absolutely heartbroken by everything that they see.
Yes,
like we know what we're able to control, and like you know, what we're able to control
care
is
about
our
things. I care about.
I
things.
Care about things. Everyone cares about things. Because. Fucking crusty old Biden's making fucking really bad policies, and so there's some fucking celebrities like not choosing the right side or whatever. Like, I mean, that's like you've too much information. Have a better responsibility with your phone and look at better shit. Everything
me?
Is
you're shouting at me.
Yeah,
so, you're the problem. I think is what he's saying.
Don't focus on the gloom.
That the West is the enemy? That's where you live. We live in at the top of the white supremacy. Haven't you realized that? We're the bad guys.
What did you do?
We're the bad guys.
I didn't do anything.
I'm just learning it myself.
No, I know.
And I have compassion for everyone
Tony,
else. And if
right,
I can,
we,
and if I can,
I'm not with non saying there's an absence of compassion.
Check
that,
your privilege.
But I just think like this is like the reality check is like we're the bad guys the whole time. We've been the bad guys the whole time.
I abhor this narrative that we are hurtling towards the end or it's apocalyptic. There is definitely some things that need to be improved upon. But
democracy's over.
No, because I love that.
Integrity's
but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, climate change.
Well,
that is very, you know, that's the thing. And there's no, and that is catastrophic. Over 1.5, we're fucked. So there is a...
Well, stop putting it on everyone. Like, stop putting all this responsibility. Like, No one asked for fucking Trump, and no one asked for Biden, and like, and no one asked to for countries to be fucking pumping out greenhouse gases. Like, no one asked for any of this. No one asked to have like a face recognizing thing. The thumb thing was fine on the phone, and then obviously we spent COVID having to take our fucking masks off. No one asked for any of this. But what we know is just like, we know our community, we know our road, we know the people that are fucking around us. We try and be a good person. You try and make conscious things. You try and recycle. So fuck all this guilt and piling on top of everyone. Go to where the fucking money is and change it there. Stop putting all this responsibility on fellow man. Humanity is great. There is more compassion now than I think there's ever been. There is more, there's better health than there's ever been. I'm sorry there's war. I didn't do any of it and I give a shit about it, but we're not hurtling towards the fucking end of it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at such a tumultuous time like this.
That was good, though. That was like the Barbie speech. And we need to put some music underneath that.
Do you know how unimpactful I found Barbie, that I don't actually know what they're talking about when they're talking about the Barbie speech and I watched the film? Sorry, is that not, did you do the big?
What?
I need. I think
okay to move on so quickly from that.
Tony's speech there.
No, except with Barbie's speech.
I feel uncomfortable without guilt. That's how ingrained the guilt is in me. So I think I accept the guilt. I bring it. I snuggle up in the guilt in a nice kind of cloak, and I'm like, okay, this is what I am comfortable in. So that's why I probably put the guilt on you as well.
I accept the guilt, but what I don't like is this passive,
bring it up.
Passive guilt.
Bring the guilt.
You know, this, and I'm not calling you passive or whatever like that, but I'm thinking people who just say the world is shit, and I'm like, so fucking do something. Like, I mean, do something or speak to the right person. Like, it's, we need to stop. I think it's as bad as like the Tories fucking making it out that it's immigrants or poor people that are drains on the system, and you're kind of poking fingers at a bunch of Spider-Mans, three Spider-Men, like poking fingers at each other. Like, we're all fine. We're good people.
Yeah.
We're morally good. We do good things for other people. We have compassion.
Hillary just got back. Hillary, our producer, just got back.
In the
room. She'd been away and she came back. I think when she left, we were talking about someone injecting something into Shane's bum, and we were giggling and being immature about it. Now we're talking about the crisis of humanity, whether we're hurtling it or guilt in society and stuff like that. But we are, as I said, comedians not being funny anymore. We are nailing it this year.
But like, if you can't say capitalism, you know, like there's a list of 50 names. They're the bit, like they're the billionaires, or they're like, you know, like it's not humanity, it's actually
more comic book. There is evil overlords.
Anyway, I think that is a good note to end on. I also think I might have to catch my flight now.
Okay, right.
Okay, great.
Happy, have a great week, everyone, and enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you on this podcast next week.
Putting me down like this. I love you.
Yeah. I love you so much. We love each other, and we love our fellow man.
We do.
Yeah. Mostly.
They're attractive.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.